Okay, so two things. I this is kind of hard to follow up with a message of joy after following up with an announcement about our budget, but I really loved how Mary Ellen tied in that this is our family. Guys, you guys are my church family. I have kids here, but my family's all in California. So you guys are a part of my life. You guys are my family, and I'm 100% in agreement with Mary Ellen that I'm not going to give you guys up either. So I accept the challenge that she set forth, and I'm just really excited because the preparation for this message started with a completely different direction. And originally, I was going to go into something about Abraham and his worship to God, and I felt that that's not what God wanted me to do. And it completely wiped out everything, and this message came in about 2 hours. And if any of you know my brain and you know me, Tim, how did you describe my brain this morning? Yes, thank you, babe. So he described a metropolis, you guys, is how he described the workings of my brain. So for God to give me a message like that is, it's not me. So he has something for you guys today, and I hope that I can present this message to you clearly. My biggest hope today is that you leave feeling joy and hope. Joy and hope. That's one I want you guys to leave. The other concern I had was leaving this on when I went to the bathroom, but that didn't happen, so we're good. Okay, so I gave you guys a slide. I did do a PowerPoint. Is it up? Okay. Joy in Christ. And I've got so much technology, guys. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. Where did I put the. Did you guys see where I put the. Oh, it's right here. Okay. See? See? This is exactly what we're talking about. So today we're going to talk about the joy in Christ, and it's kind of a journey that unfolds. Guys, it's not just like a answer, answer, answer. This is a journey in time that we're going to take together. A journey towards truth and complete joy through what I call a leaping baby. Okay, so we're going to look at Luke 1:39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste, into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Okay, look at the underlined words. And when Elizabeth heard, guys, heard. Do you feel that? Heard. She didn't touch. She didn't go up and say, Mary, oh, I'm so happy to see you. No, she heard. She heard the greeting of Mary. And the baby, guys, I'm going to start crying. I'm sorry. The baby leapt. The baby leapt. Say that with me. The baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, what was she filled with, guys? What was she filled with? The joy, the Holy Spirit. The baby leapt. Leapt. Do you know what that word? Hold on, wait. Did we go to joy? No, we didn't. We just got to heard. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm really excited about this. She heard the greeting of Mary. The baby leapt in her womb. How many of you women, how many of us women remember being pregnant? You never forget it. How many of you felt that baby moving in you? Okay. Something different happened when this baby moved. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a whisper. No. She exclaimed with a loud cry. Do you think it's because Mary couldn't hear her? They hadn't met each other, right? So Mary is afar off. But also, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was worshiping. She knew something exciting was happening. So she took action here. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, read it with me, leapt with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her. Fulfillment of what was spoken to her. Guys, a fulfillment. Something futuristic of what was spoken to her from anybody, from the Lord. The word joy here doesn't mean happy, because happy is fleeting. We know this, right? Happiness is in the moment. Joy here means exaltation. This baby was worshiping Jesus from the sound of a greeting from an afar presence of the Lord in somebody else. Okay, do we get this picture? Does it mean that if I'm worshiping, joy comes in my life and I'm at home and I'm worshiping on my own, that only I'm going to feel it? What does that mean, church? What does that mean, family? That Mary Kolb, if I'm worshiping at home, it's going to affect all of us. We are a church family. We are one body. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one has joy, we all have joy because we are one, united in Christ. There will be a fulfillment that was spoken to her from the Lord. They didn't have what we have. We have the full picture written ahead of time for us to see that time is unfolded. They only had then, that moment. We see the whole picture, don't we? So we know what the fulfillment would be. Anticipation, finding joy through seeking truth. Okay, so first we looked at joy in the moment, the Holy Spirit manifesting itself in fellowship. Now we're going to look at Luke chapter 2. I'm going to move ahead. Verses 8 through 13. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were filled with great fear. Isn't that a little different than what Elizabeth was filled with? I think if I was out at night, okay, you guys, I have to confess something. When I go out to take my trash at night, I am really scared. I'm afraid of the dark, okay? So I don't even like taking my trash out at night, let alone watching some sheep, okay? So they're watching over a whole flock. They're responsible to protect their flock. It's their livelihood. And then this angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord shone around everybody, and they were filled with great fear. I kind of would be kind of scared too. I'm sorry, I would be. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for just a few of us, all people." The fulfillment is that there would be great joy for all people. "For unto you is born this day," right now, this is happening right now, "born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Okay, let's understand that in the Old Testament, they have the prophets that are prophesying these events. Then there's silence for what, about 400 years, am I right? Help me out. About 400 years of silence, of hearing nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine what they're feeling when all of a sudden, everything that they've been waiting for, everything that they've been anticipating and been told by their forefathers was going to happen is right now. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Okay, so there's one angel, and now there's many, and they're praising God. A multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. You guys understand, God at this point brought heaven to earth. Just a glimpse, just a taste. And I believe he does that with us and with each other. Let me explain. I come to church on Sunday anticipating that we're going to have a great time together. And you know, there are some people in this church that bring so much joy to me. In worship, just his presence. Caleb, you are a young man that brings joy to me when you worship. Joe Stopper, I had a really rough week one week, and she drew me a picture. And you go up on the stage, and when you lead worship and you look out, sometimes it can be discouraging. Not that anybody's doing anything wrong. It's just in our head, okay? And there's Joe, and she's worshiping. And there's Caleb, and he's worshiping. That is joy. And they bring to me a manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit when they worship because of their joy. We do this for each other. Not just here, when we're at home, and we're praying, and we're worshiping. So, they get told this good news. What did they do? And they went with haste. Didn't Mary go with haste to go see Elizabeth? Something exciting's happening. And they went with haste. Now, I think that the takeaway for me in this is they're going to get some, they're anticipating something great in the Lord. And that's how I feel when I come here. Family, Sunday. How many Sundays do you really see me ever miss? Because it's about what we bring together. And I truly enjoy your guys' fellowship. I make haste. We make haste for the anticipation of the joy that we're going to find together in the Holy Spirit. They made haste to get this good news, to search truth. They made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen as it had been told them. We are all searching for truth, and there are people out there that are searching for truth. We all at one time, or maybe still, searching for truth. There is joy to be found in the truth of who God is. And our joy that we carry is important to reaching the people that are searching for truth. And we, not one person carries it alone, we carry it together. Okay, so here's a personal struggle I have. Rejoicing over a newborn's future death. I really do. Guys, when we talk about Christmas and we talk about Christ coming in the form of an infant to die for me, I feel selfish about that. Okay, this is just me. I don't know if any of you guys relate to this. So when I was going through this message, I was really grappling with this. Lord, I don't want to be cliche and just say that we're celebrating the birth of Christ. We're really celebrating the joy of Christ. We're celebrating the peace of Christ and the hope of Christ. How, though? How can I mentally? This is the metropolis that Tim's talking about in my head, okay? So rejoicing over it. And then I'm like, okay, what does Jesus say about it? How can I find peace in this message? How can I find reconciliation in my mind for this? So I looked at John 16:16-22. I'm going to read that from my phone. Sorry. There we go. Bear with me. Okay. A little while, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? What does he mean? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. Have you ever read scripture and said, Jesus, what are you talking about? I don't get it. Okay? That's basically what they're saying. So they were saying, what does this mean by a little while? A little while. We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, I'm kind of thinking about this. I didn't think about this before, but I'm thinking about this now. Why didn't they just ask him? Jesus knew their thoughts. And he knew that he wanted to ask, they wanted to ask him this question. I don't know, I don't have the answer to that, but that's just something to think about. But Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. Jesus knew that they needed to know the truth. So he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I mean by saying a little while and you will not see me? And again, a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, I had a C-section, so I didn't have to really feel all the pain most of you had to feel. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. Emery's laughing back there, which I'm really glad to see you here, by the way, darling. Well, I did after, but I didn't have the hours and hours of toil and anguish and labor. Well, I'm not downgrading my cesarean, okay? Thank you for looking out for me, though. She got me. I'm talking about the anguish and hours of labor. You know, I didn't have to suffer all. I did have to deal with the healing process of that. You're right. You're right. Thank you, Emery. But when she's delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has born into the world. Do we understand what Jesus is saying here? That his pain, his toil is worth it because he has brought a new life into the kingdom of God. His pain and his anguish is worth it because he has brought another life into the world, another spiritual life into the kingdom of God. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. He's prepared a place for us, hasn't he? And your hearts will rejoice. And this is what I love. No one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. Now, can somebody really take our joy? Or do we allow them to take our joy? We allow them to take our joy. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. So actively walking in joy, an everyday question. Okay, so we dealt with the question of how can I rejoice in a child coming, knowing that this child is going to die for something I do wrong, right? And we answered that with, Jesus says we're worth it. Jesus said with his own words, we are worth it. We are his bride. We are his bride. Say it with me. We are his bride. We are his bride. Let's remember that because we're going to close with a scripture that talks about that. My second one is an everyday question, which I have to look at my notes for because I forgot it. So, my second question is this. How can we find joy in this life that sometimes sucks? When we become overwhelmed with the difficulties of life, and life can be very hard, and it can be very difficult. So how do we find joy? How do we reconcile ourselves with that? How many of us have really hard weeks and we just don't know how we can pray? Lord, I don't even know what to pray right now. I have. And all I can come up with, help me, Jesus. Or I call a phone. I phone a friend, one of my lifelines. I phone a friend, which is usually Lori, sometimes Mary Ellen. Safety net of each other. This is why we need each other, okay? When I can't pray, somebody else can. And I know God's going to do something in that. And there will be breakthrough. Okay, so phone a friend. But maybe we're overwhelmed with difficulties of life. So this is just something we can remember to help us when we're struggling with, I can't feel joy right now. I can't find joy in this right now. We've all been there, right? We're not in this, we're not an island on our own, okay? Maybe we are overwhelmed. So there is a bigger picture involved. James 1, 2 through 4. This is the answer I got when I asked this question to the Lord. The first scripture that came to my spirit was, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. Okay, so the purpose for us to count it all joy, it's not for us. Joy is for us to help us through things. But being steadfast in our faith, who does it really benefit? Who else does it benefit? Others. There might be that one person that needs what you have. The joy and the manifest presence of Christ in your life. There might be one person that needs that steadfastness from us, from me, from you, from all of us. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Okay, so I haven't been in the gym in a while. I started going back. I pushed myself a little too hard. But we're not going to build muscle. We're not going to have endurance unless we continually exercise. We're going to have a lot more spiritual endurance if we're steadfast, if we remain steadfast and remain faithful. It's not easy. If being a Christian was easy, everybody would do it. It's not easy. It's not easy. But with Christ, all things are what? Possible. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. I have a really hard time with that because that's when I'm in heaven, people, that let it have its full effect. So there's kind of a giving up of your own self in that, to let something have its full effect. Let joy have its full effect, even when we don't feel like being very joyous, because it's not just for us. Steadfastness of our faith benefits everybody else around us. So there is a bigger picture. We strive to consistently walk with Christ because we want to offer hope, peace, joy, which is what we're talking about in Advent, and the salvation of Jesus Christ. This molding develops us, and it transforms people around us. Okay, so Revelation tie-in. This part really, like, baffled me. I was looking for the word joy in Revelation. The word joy is not found. in Revelation. Then my brain, my metropolis city brain, had to ask, why isn't joy found in Revelation? Does anybody think they have an answer to that? Why is the word joy not found in Revelation? Anybody have an idea? No sorrow. Who said that? Dan, no sorrow. Exactly right. No sorrow. Because where are we when we're, Revelation's a lot about heaven. Where are we? We're in the presence of God. We have joy, full joy, in the presence of God. And as Dan said, my answer to this in this journey unfolding of joy and finding joy and seeking truth in joy was found in this, these passages. You guys can read it with me. Can you guys see all the words up there? And you're ready? 1, 2, 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth, heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride ordained for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Breathe. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, if we could pause, can we read this with excitement? It's in exclamation points in the Bible. 1, 2, 3. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. That is the fulfillment of what's to come. This is why the third week of Advent we talk about joy. I don't know about you. This does something in my spirit. It is done. It is done. Say it with me. It is done. It is done. We have joy because we know God came to bring us hope, peace, joy. We unravel the joy experience with baby John and the shepherds, a baby's exaltation to Christ. We have joy because Christ came to unify and reconcile us to himself. We have joy because Christ is preparing a dwelling place for all of us to reside, where there is no more pain, no more sorrow. We have joy because that dwelling place is in the presence of eternal joy, where there is no more hindrances, no more hindrances, those of ourselves and those that we allow other people to try to take from us, or principalities and powers, right? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We have joy because that dwelling place is in the presence of eternal joy, where there is no more hindrances between us and God. We have joy because there will be no more death, eternal life. We have joy because there will be no more grief, no pain, and something completely brand new. Behold, I am making all things new. The shepherds did not know this, and baby John might not have known this, the whole picture, but we do. We do. Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, for today is a day of salvation. This season is a season of peace, hope, and today there is joy. Amen. If we can just give 2 minutes of reflection to God, quiet reflection, 2 minutes.